RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Touchdown! I don't believe it!
You're listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Basket of Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Dan Menigan is in. Hanging out here for a couple more seconds before we take the holiday off. Tomorrow, AFC North standings, as you know them and love them. The Steelers are sitting in first place at 9-6. The Ravens are second with a 7-8 record. The Bengals follow with a 5-10 record. And the Browns, you know, at 3-12. So, unfortunately, we picked a bad season to have a bad season, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Boy, if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that the Ravens would be on the outside looking in, I think we all would have looked at you like you were nuts.
And they're done if the Packers can beat them on, what, Saturday night?
Yeah,
so it doesn't really matter because then now you're looking at 7-9, and that means the Steelers will have clinched the AFC North before they even walk into the stadium on Sunday, which makes for an interesting game. Now, if the Ravens can beat the Packers, then that puts a little bit of heat. And then,
Wouldn't be shocking.
No,
the Packers are wounded right now. They are limping.
You'd be looking at you'd be looking at 8-8 Ravens team going up against a Steelers team that would be 9-6. If for some reason the Browns could pull it off, now they would turn and be what? They would be 9-7 after that. And so,
Yeah, they are.
And then they play each other last week.
Yes, they do, and that would probably be your Sunday night game.
Yeah, that would be. I would watch it. I mean, especially, but you know, again, it's about this. And I know I touched on it for a second about having your stadium overrun by the other team. Tell me, what is it when I say that to you? I know, like Jeff doesn't get into this stuff. Jeff doesn't care. When I say this to Jeff, sometimes I'll be like, you know, I hate going to the stadium when I know it's going to be all Steelers fans, or I hate going to the stadium when I know it's going to be all Bills fans. But I mean, there's got to be some passion for your team there to know that your team is so out of it and the other team is so in it that their team is going to make the 2-hour drive, 2-hour plus drive to take over your stadium and this becomes their house. And nothing aggravates me more than that.
It's the ultimate message that I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
By your own fans?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it is. It's the only message that a fan base can truly send to ownership is to be in a situation where the other team is taking over your stadium. Or it's half empty with the other team with a bunch of it in there. I mean, that is the only real control a fan base has over what is taking place with a team. I mean, if anything, yeah, it's as a fan, it's a kick in the shorts. But at the same point, you look at it, and you're like, I get it. They're mad as hell. There's nothing you can really do.
Are they
about it.
Or do they not care anymore? As everyone said, people call all the time and go, apathy is set in, man. No one really cares. And the only reason you're watching now is to see if Shador can get a little bit better and see if Miles can get the sack.
Organization as well. Your entertainment is apathy. I mean, if that isn't the ultimate slap in the face. I mean, all of this falls under the same category. It falls under the same umbrella. It's more to me a message to the powers that be that what is taking place is unacceptable. And it needs to change. Because if you want to see brown and orange inside of that stadium, the way you see brown and orange inside of that stadium is to give people a reason to watch it. And give people a reason that they're looking around going, well, I could either pay $200 for tickets, or I could sit at home and watch it on TV, or I can just not watch it. Like, you need to give people a reason that they're like, yes, here's my money. Let's go. We got to be a part of this.
But it's still Brown Steelers. Like, I love when the players get the question. You know, I sure got this question yesterday, right? You know it's the Steelers. You know what that means to the fans, right? And he gave a pretty good answer. He's like, every game means something.
Yeah.
Especially now when you're in his shoes.
Mm-hmm. I've always thought those were hard questions for players. Like, you need to understand your history and all, a little bit of the history and all that kind of stuff. But at the same point, these guys are all kind of independent contractors. You know, I've always kind of felt bad when they get those questions because, like, yeah, it's a big deal. We want to take down those guys. I mean, they are a division opponent. They are a division, all of that kind of stuff. But I don't think outside of like Denzel Ward mm-hmm. has the backing and understanding of all of a Herald fan. And I think has a chunk of it, as well. Mike Hall would maybe another one that you would circle who would understand how, long this rivalry goes back. But I always feel bad when like Shador Sanders gets that question. He's probably looking around going like,
I don't know. I haven't been here that long. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Grew up in Texas. I don't know. What do you want me to do? Like, it's always, and I understand the reason you ask it, but like, I always kind of are like, oh man, this poor guy doesn't understand like how long this goes back and how much true, a sports hatred more than anything else that goes into it.
Yeah, I get it. I wonder how our fans still feel, especially as you walk into this. You walk into this game and you're trying to figure out, hey, is this my team? I think that most Browns fans in the back of their mind will always say, this is my team. I get it. I understand it. Bad year. Another bad year. Wait till next year. Are we not the city of wait till next year?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, they've got to figure this out and get a turnaround. I mean, even with this one where we borderline saw it coming, this is such a slog. But I feel bad. I want to be upbeat. I want to be fun.
I do too.
And here's the thing. I think the fun part that you circle throughout the entire thing is that every single game, Shador Sanders gives you about three or four throws that you're like, damn, okay.
I'm in.
Let's go.
All right. Don't need to draft a quarterback.
Right. I'm with you. And that's what you want. I want those three to four throws where every game I can look at and get excited about that and circle. And I hope we see those against the Steelers, against those veteran corners that you could get and against those defensive linemen, which you could get after as well. Like, that's the stuff that I'm looking for in this is give me those three to four throws that are like, okay. And don't turn around and give me the three to four throws / sacks that you're like, oh, good golly. What are you looking at? What are you doing? You can't escape out of the back of the pocket like that, bud. You got to get the ball out. Like, make those like two of those and four to five. Like, all right. That's all I'm asking for Shador in this game. If that starts going in the right direction, it makes that decision a lot simpler. If the quarterback's on the roster, it helps team building so much.
Ryan is in North Olmsted. Hi, Ryan.
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Menigan, Andy. Hey, just want to chime in, obviously, what you guys were discussing a little bit about the stadiums being overrun by opposition fan bases. Obviously, Andy, you and I know that did not happen last year with the Steelers. Mm. They came into our stadium, and they thought, you know, they were just going to overrun us, and obviously our Browns fans showed up, even though we were completely out of it. Same thing. The biggest one ever was Ohio State. Northwestern last year. I'm not exaggerating. Wrigley Field, man, there was 98% Ohio State fans there compared to maybe 2% Northwestern fans. And ironically, some of them are my family members from Northwestern. Anyway, but first off, go Northwestern tomorrow. My first cousin's playing for him. The Browns in particular, man, it's just unique scenario. Obviously, it's a horrible scenario we're running into, but it's a perfect storm of what we had planned out, which was obviously to showcase that we still have a stout defense. We have something to look forward to next year. We just need growth on the offense. We need our second string quarterback. I think we found it. There's some growth obviously going on with the offense. Same time, there's so much needed, man. And there's still a lot to be played out with the rest of the season for the NFL, obviously, and our position, obviously, with the draft. I call it to get to the Super Bowl, and then there's the scenario we're playing to get to the toilet bowl, which is obviously the NFL draft. And again, we're winning it, I think, as humorous as it sounds. There's a unique scenario with obviously Sanders. I think a lot of people are cheering for him. I just feel that he's just that second stringer, man. He's going to be long-term. And the problem with him will be, I think he'll be equivalent to hypothetically like a Terrell Owens, where he's not going to like the fact that he's going to be sitting at second string. Not saying Terrell was, I'm saying he didn't get the ball, but he's just one of those guys that says, man, if I'm not starting, I want out. So that's the other conundrum we're probably going to be running into next year. So if we do get our starting quarterback, hypothetically in the NFL draft or free agency, I don't know what Sanders is going to do, because he's not going to like the fact that he's not starting.
What if Deshaun's starting next year? There's a possibility that happens too.
Oh my God.
Don't do that to us.
I'm just saying.
Come on, man. Oh. What is he gonna, is he getting paid $80 million next year? Is that what I heard? Is that the last portion of his contract?
Something along those lines, yeah.
That is sick money for a guy who literally is just sitting somewhere holding a clipboard or just on his lazy boy chair watching the games. But I digress on that, man. There's still a lot going forward good with the Browns. The NFL season's still at hand. We got the NFL draft coming up. So good things are coming. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Anyway, guys, good show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Happy holidays, guys.
Right you back as well. Enjoy all the holidays.
Yeah, when you look at overthecap.com, Deshaun is looking at $80 million.
Yep.
46 guaranteed, 34.7 prorated signing bonus.
Yep.
And do they stretch that out over the next two years?
So that'll be the question, is do they re-sign him to some kind of a renegotiation of the salary where they turn some of it in and then just kick the can down the road a little bit and make it less, maybe figure out something else, or do they just eat it? And I have no idea what's going to happen, though I do have to say, on stuff that'll make me feel good and you feel sick,
yeah,
I believe you will owe me a lunch.
Oh, if what? He's on the roster after?
No, my friend. You said he was going to start this year. I said, he would
get at least one start this year.
And I believe you owe me a lunch at some point.
Is the paperwork done, or when do they have? They had to do the paperwork by yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah. MK, I was going to say, MK, your ruling. I think that means the paperwork is done. I think I get a lunch.
All right. We'll talk about it. I didn't say it was going to be a good lunch.
Oh, no.
It might be a personal pan pizza.
You can go get me a hot
steakhouse.
I did not say steakhouse.
I distinctly heard steakhouse.
I'm
the official records keeper, and I heard steakhouse.
Yeah, you need to get your ears cleaned, because I never once said steakhouse.
As I said, you can
maybe get, for me, coming back at me.
You can get me a hot dog from up the street. I don't care.
It's probably
just a lunch.
You know, that's how I rule. He's Dan Madigan. I'm Andy Baskin. Baskin and Phelps. Jeff is off today. He'll be back, what, soon? I don't even know when he's going to be back. Maybe we'll tell you when he's coming back when we come back after the break. Again, just you kind of your thoughts on the Steelers there. A couple other things I want to talk about as we wrap things up for the rest of the show and get ready for the big holiday. And are you ready? That's a big question, too. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3. The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
I think everything applies. It's trusting your eyes, trusting what you see, trusting how you've been prepared, trusting your coaching, trusting the skills that you developed over the weeks. I think it's all in one.
You know what I hear when I hear Shedeur Sanders talking about trust? The image that I have in my mind, because I'm a movie guy. I'm all about like movie references that nobody else seems to get but me. I've got the scene from the 1989 Batman. Jack Nicholson's the Joker, and he's doing the hubba hubba hubba, who do you trust?
Still the best Joker.
He's dancing on the floor. Hey, who do you trust? Who do you trust? Like, that's what I have in my head is a visual. Every time I hear Shedeur Sanders talking about trust, which is important as a quarterback on a variety of levels, you gotta trust your coaches. You gotta trust your offensive system that you're being given with, right? You've gotta trust your teammates. That they're gonna be where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. You've gotta trust your eyes that what you're seeing is what's actually happening. Like, there's so many layers of the trust that you have to have. And that's just not something that is there from day one. And that's whether you're Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or, in this case, Shedeur Sanders. Like, that stuff just, it takes time.
Well, and the big thing for him right now is being a game manager. And I'm here to tell you that being a game manager is a compliment, not a derogatory term. And what I mean by that is that when you for him to grow, when he says, I got to trust, when people say, I'm going to throw it to Fannin or I'm going to throw it to Judy, You better not be saying that. You better be saying, I'm throwing off this coverage. I'm throwing off this leverage. I'm throwing off what I see. So if everybody is mad because he's checking it down and that's where it takes you, then you check it down and you live to fight another day. He's got to, yeah, obviously he's got to block out all the noise and kind of stay in the path he's doing. And we're going to see this week because, again, I'm cheering hard for the Ravens because I want this game to mean something on Sunday, because if it means something, he's going to see coverage. He's going to see coverage that's going to make him check it down. And then eventually the Steelers are going to have to come up. Then there's going to be those shots downfield. When he says trust, what he's got to really, it almost becomes like a selfish kind of thought, right? I got to go where the open guy tells me to go, where the coverage tells me to go. That's what he's done very, very well. That's what he did last week. Everybody says they want to, you know, if it becomes a check down Charlie game and he gets, and then eventually he gets a couple stretches vertically, I'll be very happy watching it Sunday.
Well, I want lots of vertical stretches on Sunday. I miss watching fun football.
But what if they don't give it to him? What if they did? What if they say, you know what, we're going to make you check it down. You want him to throw it up there and give him a chance? Or are you comfortable? Like for me, I'm not happy if he's throwing it up in the coverage. Even if they get it, I'm not happy.
Well, again, the object is not to win, right?
It's got to be for him.
Okay. But I'm saying that ship has sailed for the Browns. Nothing changes. If they win these next two games, do you think it changes the organizational outlook at all, whether it's with Kevin Stefanski, whether it's Andrew Berry, whether it's like Shedeur Sanders? Like, does anything change if they win these next two games, which they're not going to do, but go ahead and answer the question.
Well, I think, you know, if he's not going to the right spot, I think it does. I think it depends. It has a lot to do with, do they trust him to be the quarterback of the future? If I'm throwing the ball up in the coverage because I want to make a play, and for some reason Judy makes a play, which he has not done, and he goes and makes a play, and they score a touchdown, everybody's like, oh, that's a, to me, that's a minus. I don't want him throwing into coverage. I want him to throw it where the coverage tells him to go. I want him to throw it to be a quarterback, to step up in the pocket and throw it where it's supposed to go, not to throw it up and not to be fun. The thing that's fun in football is winning, and winning football plays is what he's got to continue to make, not lucky throws down the field into coverage, even though that is what we want to see. I want to see him check it down. I want to see him, if the check down's not there, why? Because something vertically is open. That's what I want to see. And I think it does matter. Is he making the right decisions with the football in course of progressions and what he's seeing from the defensive secondary?
I'm going to disagree with you on the winning is always fun. I watched the Browns win a game in Buffalo like 6-0.
It's beautiful.
That was a painful game to watch. There are no
ugly losses ever.
You can
adjust and say we got to do things better.
No ugly wins.
No ugly wins. There are no ugly wins ever. Now you can, if it's 2-0, great. You live to fight another day. That's the one thing I never did. If everybody says, what would you do if you went back coaching? I would enjoy the wins more than I always expected to win, and I wouldn't enjoy them, and the losses beat me up. If I was coaching now and we won 2-0 three weeks in a row, I'm good with that. No one remembers what the score was. It's a win or a loss. That's how you're judged. So that's for me. There are no ugly wins, Daryl. That's and for me.
I'm going to remember the score just despite you.
Okay. I got you.
Hey, coach, how about that 2-0 banger you had against Parma?
I'll take it. You know why? Because we'll live to fight another day. We'll come in and everybody will say, you stunk on offense. And I'll go, you're right. You were great on defense. You're right.
We scored more points than they did.
We got the win. And you know what? 4 weeks from now, we beat Parma. No one's telling me the score. We got the win. That's all I care about.
All right. There is such a thing as winning ugly.
Nope.
And Exhibit A are your Cleveland Browns, because when they win, it's usually ugly. It's not pretty.
I think it's beautiful. All wins are beautiful.
They lose ugly and they win. It's just ugly football that they play most of the time. That we got the 5-week Joe Flacco reprieve, which was nice. We had the 2007 season with Derek Anderson, which was nice, although they didn't make the playoffs. We had the 2020 season with Baker Mayfield when he was allowed to play and didn't have COVID. That was nice. Like we've had a few spells, but like it hasn't been consistent enough for me to really enjoy watching. Like one of these guys.
What if they won every game 6-3? Would you say? And they're 11-4, but they haven't scored more than 13 points all year.
Then they're the Chicago Bears or Baltimore Ravens that won the Super Bowl,
Right? But you're good with that, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, right.
That's good.
I'll take
pretty,
it.
Pretty football. It's good-looking football.
No, the trophy's pretty. I don't know that the football was pretty, but that...
Wins
that,
are always pretty.
That sterling silver shiny Vince Lombardi trophy looks pretty nice.
Absolutely. And you take the wins as you get them. It doesn't matter how you get them. You live to fight another day.
What's the ugliest game you ever won as a coach?
Oh, gosh. We had a couple when our defense was really good, that we would win. We won a couple games 7-0, and I remember people saying how bad I called plays that day, and I was like, you're right, but we won. And it's funny because you get the next week, no one remembers. But I had a couple. I had a couple 7-6, 13-10. You know, that's hard to do in high school. You can usually score some points in high school. So I had some really poorly called games. My favorite game was we won 51-50. Once again, that didn't matter either because it was the win. So it doesn't matter as long as you win.
Worst play you called? Since it's see what I'm doing right now. I'm checking your accountability.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to build the trust with you that Shador Sanders is trying to build with her. So I'm doing a trust exercise with you.
Well, I'm going to do the worst play I ever called because I went against my dad as head coach. And at the end of the half, my dad told me to sit on it because we were up 21-0. And I was always a believer in until halftime, the gas pedal stayed on.
Okay.
So he told me to sit on it. I decided to call a wheel. We scored on the wheel to go up 28-0. My wife came over to me and said, that was an amazing call. Your dad is absolutely going to kill you. She gave me a kiss and ran away. So that was the worst call because my dad was usually not very, he didn't influence me, but that most when he said something, I usually listened and I went against it. And needless to say, that was the last time I did that.
Oh, wow. So you're, wow. But you scored a touchdown on it.
Yeah, but it was a bad. It was,
and it still didn't help you.
It didn't help me because once again, my dad gave me free reign, and head coach is in charge. And once again, if that play is picked off, it's not. It's
you
not
broke
me.
The chain of command.
Yeah, it's not me. It's not me that's going to take the blame for that. It's going to be him. Why wouldn't you sit down at the end of the half? It would be him that had to take it. So when I got in the head coaching position, I understood why he did some of the things he did because it all rolls downhill on you. As a head coach,
we would go through all the bad calls that the Browns coaches have had over the years, including Kevin Stefanski. But Owen, I we're out of here at 10, right?
Yeah, not enough tape. I ran out of tape.
We don't have that kind of time this morning to go through all those. Plus, too, it's Christmas Eve. We want you to be in a holly jolly mood.
How many of those calls are bad execution, though? You know, the vanilla, some of those calls are lack of execution up front, too. You know, I'm going to side on the coach now. When I'm going to do coach speak.
Are you accusing Andrew Berry of not stocking the cupboard correctly?
I'm just going to go with vanilla.
Let me hit this real quick, Lance, before the lawyers come in.
Yes.
Reckless speculation.
We're good. We're involved. Go ahead.
All right. So, sometimes it's just the idea of... Your vanilla offense and being predictable, that comes down to sometimes that comes down to you're just not doing it well up front, or you're not catching the ball, or you're not throwing it right. It's not always vanilla, right? The same vanilla offense Kevin stunk with is the reason he got hired in Cleveland. That's not working
but
right
even
now.
Even vanilla offense, right? If you execute it correctly, should be successful,
correct.
Right?
Correct. Like, yes.
But it takes all 11.
It takes all 11.
At least all 11, including the guys on the sidelines that maybe are influencing the plays as well, right?
Correct.
Coming up with it.
Correct. Yeah. It's once again, that would be go back to my overlying thing where everybody's involved. The goods, the bads, they're all involved in it. It ain't one person, but that vanilla predictability, that's a little bit overrated in my opinion.
Just follow the spreadsheets. That's what they do. They'll never steer you wrong. 216-474-0092 coming up. They might be out of the doghouse. Maybe. Well, maybe we'll find out tomorrow on Christmas. That's next. It's Daryl Ryder, Lance Reisland with you till 10 in for the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima without Ken or Anthony on the Fan.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Dan Menigan is in today. I am thoroughly impressed by the folks that are listening to us while grocery shopping today. Did not realize that. That's a thing.
Good luck to everybody out there. Avoid the true want to take your cart and bash it into someone's back.
Why do you make it so evil? I mean, people are just picking up groceries.
The thought crossed my mind yesterday on a couple of these people that I like, you know, there was like, you know, you could take this. It's like, no. Stop. This is a society.
I don't know.
You don't want to spend Christmas doing 5 to 10 for losing your mind at a grocery store.
That's
right?
A good point. Or losing all kinds of money by punching a fan in the stands. That's not a good idea either.
Yeah.
Millions.
$44 million.
He lost $44 million because some knucklehead said something to him.
Mm-hmm. And he couldn't keep his cool.
That's a $45 million, not to mention, you know, how much money do you lose when you're the head coach at Michigan and make a mistake?
And missing the two games on top of it for him to kick into the NFL Christmas party fund at the Peter Luger's.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's a single moment of lose. I mean, people lose money in the stock market all the time, right? I mean, at least you had a chance there. This is just money in hand, and all you had to do is not do something stupid. And even if the other person is dumber than a box of rocks and says the most ignorant thing you could possibly think of, is it worth losing $45 million over?
And you'd kind of
think... And the opportunity to play against the Browns this week? Come on, man.
So the other thing, too, you'd think that like you'd think one of the players or like a coach or something like that would have an eye and would see him turning around and walking backwards.
Well, you
and
see there's there. A security guy. I thought there was a security guy on the field with him.
That might have been.
As soon as he walked over to the stands, although you got to wonder, the security guy, maybe he knows that guy. You know, that's the other, I don't know. That's silly. Silly to lose games over it. Silly. I mean, I know people say really stupid and ignorant things. Mm-hmm. And
there should be no place for such things.
Yeah. And I don't know what he said either. That's the other thing. Because I've seen video of it. Did you watch any of the video of it?
I've seen some of the video.
I heard the one guy call him by his real name.
I heard that part. He claims he heard a lot of things that you should not say to another human being.
Which may have happened before it was, right. You know, before somebody else was rolling on it, too. That's the other. You might only be seeing a snippet of it. So, let's go to Mark in Cleveland. Hi, Mark.
What's happening, Mark?
Andy, you guys want to know why Hugh Jackson lasted those two seasons like that?
Tell me, brother. Tell me.
I'm all ears because I'm still befuddled.
It was the plan, man.
It was the
same
plan.
Way with Stefanski. This is the plan, man. Let's see what these quarterbacks got. Man, you can't. It's no way you can go ahead and fire a guy that was 2-time coach of the year that took an average Baker Mayfield to the playoffs with a Joe Flacco to the playoffs right off the couch. And you'll be the laughing stock of the league once you cut this guy and everybody know the situation in Cleveland. That's the reason I say the guy's not going anywhere. He's going to go ahead and hopefully develop Shador and then see what he got. But he hasn't even had his own quarterback here to say, okay, let's get him out of here. I don't see it, Andy.
Mark, that is the most passionate statement I've heard anybody give us on the air about Kevin Stefanski, and I don't disagree with what you're saying. The problem here is the NFL, and you know the bottom line for ownership is they want to make money, and it's keeping Kevin selling tickets or keeping people away. I'm sorry.
It's the plan, yeah. Andy. Just like you, what's the plan? I mean, if this is the plan and this guy and these guys know what they're doing, I don't see why. It makes no sense to me. That's all I'm saying.
Do you want them to hang on to him? That's my question.
Yes, I do. I think, laid down to you before, I think he's a good coach, and you give him something to work with, he's going to make something.
All right. The other point that you made there that I think is important is, do you think Shador is getting better with him every week?
Yes, it does look like Shador's getting it. He's not a world beater. I mean, but he's a work in progress. I mean, you know, the guy wasn't having any reps in the beginning, but I think he's taking small steps and getting better.
Mm. All right, awesome. Happy holidays, man.
Happy holidays. I agree with him.
So the question is, is it more important to win these next two games or to watch Shador get better the next two games? And if Kevin and Shador are on the same page?
I think it is more important for Shador Sanders to look better in these next two games than it is for them to win these two games.
Last game of the season is against Cincinnati. That is where Steve is. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Guys, how's it going today?
We are doing fine. Well,
long-time listener.
Thank you.
I used to call back in the day, but I haven't. I got a different take on this whole Shador, Stefanski, Barry thing.
Okay.
Please.
So there's these rumors that they wanted to redshirt Shador.
Yes.
I know you can't always believe what they're saying, but if that was the case, why would they fire Barry or Stefanski if the plan was to redshirt Shador? Think about Kenny Pickett getting hurt. Think about Kenny Pickett. So we had Kenny Pickett, Flacco, Gabriel, Shador. Shador, I think really for the real thing was they were like, oh my God, we can't believe he's still here. And somebody, don't think it was Andrew Berry. Well, maybe. But somebody was like, look, we can't just pass on this guy. He's basically a free pick.
It wouldn't shock me if it was Andrew Berry. And, I mean, Lord knows we've all looked at them more times than we can count and go, oh, my God, follow your board, follow your board, follow your board. And I wonder if they just followed their board.
And if Berry likes Shador in the first place, we're talking about what's the plan. Then that means that these two guys were going to come back next season anyway, with Shador in tow.
And Watson.
Possibly, and Watson. Exactly. And you've got this good, great draft he did this time. If he saves all those picks for next year, works on the offensive line, gets a couple offensive weapons in here, now we actually have a team. And Shador is, most people can, you can say a lot of things about him. He's not a bad quarterback at this point. He's a rookie. He's showing some flair. And now he's learning to check it down like Stefanski likes. So now I think going into next year, I think they keep both of them. And I don't think.
And Andrew, too? All three?
Steve.
All three?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they do. Because I think it's actually been part of the plan the whole time. I don't know if Shador is like the wild card in here. Because really what they were going to do is bring along Dylan Gabriel as a backup to whatever quarterback they drafted next year. And now Shador is showing enough talent that's going to be questionable. Now, the best thing for Shador to make sure that he's the quarterback. Oh, that's the other thing about this. You guys are talking about, well, or some guy said the best way for Shador to solidify his position next year is for the Browns to win the next two games, which bumps us down the draft order.
Right. Sure.
Well, think about who he would have had as quarterback. They wanted Kenny Pickett. He wanted Kenny Pickett to do this year. But if you look at all these different games, how many times have they done a boneheaded call that cost us the game?
Or special teams is at a misplay.
I don't think they are purposely sabotaging games, Steve. I cannot say.
I'm not saying that they're sabotaging games.
Okay.
I'm saying that this look at the roster. The roster is built to sabotage whoever's playing. The offensive line is bad. There's no receivers.
It's
what
broken.
Quarterback is gonna, yeah. Right. What quarterback is going to come in unless you get like a super, super, superstar who can make Joe Blow off the street look great? There's no way any quarterback comes into this situation and wins games. So this was the plan. I'm not saying they were tanking because people say, oh, tanking. I just think that they put them in a position where it was going to be hard to win a lot of games so that they could use the draft picks next season to actually create a team.
Gotcha.
And then you got the stadium and all that stuff. I really think that this season has been going to their plan.
Steve, thank you. Appreciate the phone call. Happy holidays. Again, I hear arguments that I am willing to listen to.
4.5 wins.
You also know that when you're going to throw that many rookies out on the field, you're minimizing your or you're taking the odds of winning games and making them significantly less.
4.5 wins.
Is that what you said in the beginning of the year?
That's what Vegas called you in the beginning of the year. Put you at 4.5.
So the over-under comes down to these next two games.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the under. Well, yeah, you're right.
They've won 4 on a win this week. And then you get over the half if you can win the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Bad math.
Yeah, that's okay. I just don't see. I don't know. Do you see them? I don't see them winning. I see them maybe winning the Cincinnati game. I don't know if that I see. And that's
I see them winning the Cincinnati game, and if that turns into a shootout, which it has potential to be because the Bengals defense is really, really, really bad, like holy mackerel bad. If that's a shootout and Shador is throwing 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns, and you know maybe one pick along the way for 350 yards, and we're sitting there going, damn, he's got like 5 nice throws in this game.
You know how
really
I could
let somebody.
I could see them beating the Steelers if the Packers win on Saturday, right? If the Packers beat the Ravens.
Throwing Mason Rudolph.
And now you got Mason Rudolph playing quarterback. Now, not only do we. And you know the best part about that? You'll get to celebrate with Myles Garrett as he gets the sack record at home.
Mm-hmm. I think he'll get the sack record at home anyway. I think he gets it this week.
I hope so, too. Even just for the fans that'll be there, Steeler fans will enjoy it because they'll probably have, 60% of the stadium this weekend. At least.
Hey, who knows? We'll see. With the sack record pending and against the Steelers, who knows what this will look like. Maybe you'll get more of them. Maybe they'll look around and go, I don't feel like driving. You know, Pennsylvania Turnpike is not cheap, my friend.
Take the back roads in. There's what you got to cut through Youngstown. There's a way to do it. We drive over there a lot of time. We used to. Last couple of years, but
they're getting their cash in Pennsylvania.
They do, man.
They're getting their cash.
You know what? You know why? Because you can do the casino games on your phone too. That's why people are just jumping over the border to go play the casino games on your phone. Oh, I can play roulette on my phone. I can play blackjack on my phone. All you do is cross the border either way, Michigan or Pennsylvania. Just saying. And then they get their turnpike money.
Then they get the
it's business, baby. Business.
It is, and business is boom.
Man. All right, Ohio State, Miami, the Cotton Bowl. Who's going to talk about it? World-renowned writer, host of the Tim May Show with Clay Hall. Tim May, he's going to join us next. Baskin and Phelps with Dan Menigan.
The Christmas Eve edition of the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima, with no Ken Carmen or Anthony Lima, but Owen is in the house.
Yeah, I woke up for this. Excited.
Couldn't miss it. Wouldn't miss it for the world. It's Daryl Ryder, Coach Lance Reisland with you. We'll be with you till 10. Thanks to Shador Sanders for clearing up that he is 1, not God, 2, not the owner of the Cleveland Browns. But he does have his own film crew. So we got that all patched up. Apparently, I'm the only one dressed for Christmas. I'm wearing my annual Clark Griswold hockey sweater.
I had the hat on earlier this week on the show. I should have worn the hat today.
See, but I thought for sure you'd wear like the antlers or something.
I had the hat with the lights on it. It was good. I didn't have that. I messed up this morning.
You can watch us on YouTube live right now, I understand. Just go to the 92.3 The Fan channel there on YouTube. So if you have nothing else better to watch this morning, you can watch us. So it doesn't really get any better than that. But Lance, happy holidays. Good to spend the next 4 hours with you.
Absolutely. Happy holidays to you. Great to be here with you guys. I'm looking forward to this.
I guess we jump right in. By the way, Cavs won last night. Hallelujah. That's back-to-back wins for them. The earth did not stop spinning on its axis. I don't know if the Bunsen burner on Kenny Atkinson's seat has been turned down at all. We'll talk about that. Coming up, college football playoff is this weekend. I know you've got some thoughts, not just on the Ohio State Buckeyes and what awaits them with the Miami Hurricanes and their strong, stout defensive front, but you know, this we are in December when it comes to the Browns, and it's like the good old days. They are 3-12, and we are bracing for impact, and that impact come January, whether it's January 4th or 5th or 6th, whenever they decide to do things, is potential changes that they could make, and whether or not Kevin Stefanski can save his job in the final couple of weeks here. You heard Shadur there in the open talk about how he has to do his part, which, by the way, that was a great answer when he was asked about whether or not he feels like the Browns have any commitment for him next year. And he's like, well, I kind of got to do my part to give them reason for that. And he said winning games, and we might have to hit the pause button. No, Shadur, we want you to play well. Maybe winning games, not the best thing, although maybe for him, because takes him out of the range for a quarterback and the top five of the draft, if he wins.
Well, the problem for me is that when you start talking about I want to play well, or I got to play or do my part, and you're not talking about winning, that's kind of where the Browns organization is for me. I've always believed winning has got to be the most important thing. And for some reason, like when I'm breaking down plays, I'm thinking about this is a good play, this is a bad play. All quarterbacks do those things. But we're talking about, you know, is he the quarterback of the future? And that's the problem with the Browns right now, is that we're not talking about winning or schemes or how they attack people. They've kind of led themselves to this, but that's where we're at. And I think he's got to do his part, and I think he's done some good things. But I also think there's room for improvement, and I'm not an extremist. To say he's the guy or to say he can't be the guy, I'm not there. I think he's earning some right to get some more reps, and that's where I'm at with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a step-by-step process here. This is how they did it when Dillon Gabriel suffered the concussion. They kind of slow walked it. Shadur showed a little something-something against the Ravens. They had a chance to win but didn't. Played well in Las Vegas in his first start, which he won, hasn't won since, and it's been uneven. Now, you're not allowed to criticize Shadur. You know, the Shadur fans don't want to hear any criticism. This guy walks on water and can do no wrong, but he has done some wrong. He's not perfect, and that's why we can't sit here and say that, you know, when they're in position potentially to have three of the top 33 picks in next April's draft, they can just spend that all on supporting cast for him. You know, we have to have the conversation, honestly, about quarterback and what they need. And before you could even have that conversation, you have to know who your coach is. And they have to look themselves in the mirror and decide, is it going to be Kevin Stefanski going forward? And it's one of two things. If it's going to be Kevin, then you have to give Kevin the type of quarterback he really wants. Because I think that's one of the major problems, aside from the fact he's had 13 of these dudes in 6 years, and you've not really been able to build around anyone. You've tried to talk yourself into building around Deshaun Watson, but he just hasn't been around to build around. Enough, either because of his own off-the-field alleged behavior or the fact that he can't stay healthy. But then, you know, once you decide Kevin's your guy, then you have to decide, well, is Shadur Sanders the type of quarterback that Kevin Stefanski wants to coach? And I don't know the answer to that, but I'm leaning towards probably not. Because he just doesn't seem to have, you know, whatever it is Kevin likes in his quarterback, I don't know that Shadur Sanders is it. Deshaun Watson wasn't it, I don't believe. So, like, this is always seems to be the problem with the Browns is, even when they have alignment, they don't have alignment, and they can't figure out the alignment, or they talk themselves into the alignment, and then they force moves to fit the alignment, which the alignment doesn't align with the alignment. And it's just this like vicious cycle, and that's why we're sitting here now, two straight years of a 3-win football team, and we have to tangibly ask the question: does Kevin Stefanski keep his job? Of course, I'm the one throwing out there: if Kevin doesn't get to keep his job, neither should. Andrew Berry, because if you've been telling us for 5 years these guys are joined at the hip, they're thought partners and all this type of stuff, Lance, I don't know how now 6 years in you can say, we got Andrew in this corner, we got Kevin in this corner, we're gonna get rid of Kevin now. They're really not joined at the hip. That to me organizationally makes zero sense to me.
Well, you know, the alignment thing has always been my issue. I always thought they were aligned through the good and the bad, mostly bad, but they were aligned and they were on the same team. Now you're starting to see them separate, which for me tells me somebody's going to go. And I'm with you. To steal your thing, the groceries, they don't have a lot on offense. So if you're going to decide, if you're going to evaluate a quarterback, you better start from the inside out. This offensive line is really, really poor right now. They don't pass protect. They don't run the ball very well. It's hard to evaluate a quarterback when it's run, run, pass, or if it's second and long all the time. Last week he took the checkdowns. I like that. It gave him second and five. They got in a little bit better rhythm. You know, I don't know what's going on with the quarterback situation. I always thought for what Kevin does, the early down boots, waggles, throwing launch points, Baker was the guy. For some reason that didn't work out. Now I'll be first one to say I thought Dylan was a good quarterback, and I still do, for the fact that he matched what Kevin does. The boots on a first down, throwing from different launch points, kind of hit his height.
Throwing 2 yard passes.
Yeah, well, you know, if you throw 2 yard passes, but you gotta when they're there, it's like not throwing the ball downfield. If you throw the ball downfield and it's not, they're not giving it to you, that's silly too, in my opinion. So he just did, when he took the passes, he took those short ones, but he's got to take the long ones when they're there. That's what Shador's got to kind of work opposite, right? He always wants to take the long one. Last week he checked it down a little bit. We can get into that later, but the quarterback situation all comes down to alignment. They're not aligned. And when you hear Kevin say, I'm not sure, he didn't even know Flacco was traded, it seemed like, with you guys, you know, those kind of things, that alignment issue as a head coach, you know, if you take it to the high school level, you got to be, everybody's got to be aligned, administration, the principals, the teachers. If you're not, you get a mess, especially when things go bad. It's easy to hide things when you're winning. The Browns right now, everything's exposed because you're losing. And for me, the alignment is the major issue. Everything we're talking about, quarterbacks, offensive line, evaluation, they're not aligned right now. Until that happens, nothing's going to work.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you can't just wheel the car into the garage, put it on the rack, do a quick alignment, and you're in and out in 20 minutes. That's just not how this works.
Did you think Dylan was a good pick for him? Do you think that? I thought he matched Kevin's offense perfectly.
Well, we know Kevin liked Dylan Gabriel, which makes me question his evaluation ability when it comes to quarterbacks. I wanted to stab myself in my eyes with a fork watching Dylan Gabriel try to play quarterback. Like, I never want to see him again. I'm good.
We're not eye to eye on that one, but that's okay.
He's a wonderful kid. Too short, can't see, can't throw it more than 2 yards. Like, I don't want to watch Charlie Checkdown. I want to watch the modern NFL. I want to watch Patrick Mahomes style offense. I want to watch a Josh Allen style offense. I want to watch a Joe Burrow style offense, you know, where they throw the ball more than 2 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. Now, part of the issue is not a lot to work there. And I think that, to your point, what you're talking about with Shador, like, he keeps talking about trust and be, you know, the time on task needed to develop that trust, and not just trust in the players, but trust in himself, in what he's seeing, what he's reading, who's really open. Can I jam it into this tight window? Because that's what the great quarterbacks do. You know, we talk about great throws all the time, but I think even you have to admit this. There are times where we say great throw, it really was a bad throw. The receiver just made an unbelievable play, and we're like, oh, yeah, great throw by the quarterback. Put it where only the receiver could get it. And no, the receiver made a phenomenal play. The Browns have no receivers that can make any plays, that can make the quarterback look elevated. And you know, I both of these guys were set up to fail offensively this year. Like, let's be honest about it. Offensive line in shambles. You're going to have a tough time. Any quarterback, let alone two rookies, you're going to struggle with that. And then when you just basically have very little talent in your wide receiver room, you get what you ask for. And well, I think the Browns got exactly what they asked for this year.
Well, the balance here's the quarterbacks you mentioned, those are the very few guys you can win because of. And I don't know if you can go out there and get a guy you can win with, especially early on. There are a few guys. There
you know
are
how many teams in the National Football League, though, Coach, find some mysterious some guy way you can win doing
with.
That?
Some yeah. guys you can win with, but yeah. not but they have the better supporting cast.
Right.
Right. So if you're talking Mahomes and Allen, those guys can uplift or make their guys around them better. If you got a guy you can win with, which is the majority of quarterbacks, you better surround them with good players. And that's where the Browns offensively are struggling. So if you're evaluating a quarterback right now, it's probably going to be a quarterback you win with.
I mean, Phillip Rivers is old enough to be my grandpa, and he looks serviceable Monday night.
Well, once again, though, pieces around, you got better pieces, right?
I know, I'm just saying.
So that's where I think they have to think. Are they thinking they're going to get a quarterback they win because of? I'm not sure. I don't think he's out there in the draft this year for sure. If he is, maybe. But for me, it's you better go out and get some pieces. You better get some offensive linemen. You better get a tackle. You better get a guy who can run with the ball after he catches it. You better do some things because your evaluation of the quarterback is going to be the same if he's on his butt.
Right.
It's always going to be the same.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the position they put themselves in, though, is, well, this is what you gave him to work with. Now, I will say that the offense has looked better with Shador running it than Dylan Gabriel. And you being the film guy, I don't know that they're doing things all that differently with Shador than they were trying to do with Dylan. Dylan's screen pass would go to the first row, where Shador's would be caught and run 66 yards for a touchdown. Same play, completely different results. So, you know what I mean? Like, and that's, I think, one of the criticisms with Kevin. Like, he has his offense, he has his way of doing things. Has he really tailored and run everything for these quarterbacks? No, I don't think he has, but he's had 13 different guys. You can't really build an offense when you've just got a merry-go-round at that position. And, well, hello, that's usually what the Cleveland Browns have.
Yeah, you know, and it goes back to when they had Deshaun Watson. I thought when he went out and got Dorsey, he was trying to maximize Deshaun Watson's ability. The problem is with that is that it's not what you install. It's what you can fix as a coach. And when he had Watson at quarterback, that's why they even looked worse than they do now, because their inability, he can't fix it. Because if you don't know, if you're running an offense you don't understand, you don't know the nuances of how to fix it. So for me, it was when he brought in Dorsey, I kind of respected that. When he brought in Vrabel, these guys, I respected that. Like, we're going to do everything we can to win. Unfortunately, you can only do so much. And if the Kevin's your guy, I'm with you in the fact that you got to get a guy that he likes and that can run his offense. Because we only know what we know. And more importantly, you only know what you can fix. And right now, they can't do either because of their personnel. The snowball has kind of rolled down the hill, and they're struggling. And they're going to have somebody's going to fall for this. But I don't think it necessarily should be Kevin.
Yeah, the Browns got to figure out who their guy is. Big shock. And it's not just the quarterback either. They got to figure out who their guys are in a variety of roles within the organization. We know one who isn't going to be their guy here in the rest of 2025, and they got to figure out if he will be in 2026. We'll talk about that next. It's Daryl Ryder, Lance Reisland in for Ken Carmen and Anthony Lyme with you till 10 here on The Fan.
There's a lot that's been happening right now between conversations on Kevin Stefanski. And as we talk about this entire coaching thing, where a lot of people think that Kevin's just going to be fired at this point, and a lot of, I feel like, conversations around Kevin's job security in general, to the point where I look at these two games and I hear so many people throw out the idea that, the Haslams and ownership haven't made up their mind on whether or not, you know, they're moving on from Kevin Stefanski. And you've heard the Ian Rapoport report now that was on NFL Network that was throwing out just the idea of they haven't made an idea on Stefanski, but Barry's going to be a big part moving forward. And it's like, I can't help but sit here and think to myself, guys, at the point we're at in the season, you are 3-12. You have two games remaining that are against the Steelers, which we think is going to be a fully equipped Steelers team, but there is no guarantee on that at this point. And the Bengals, which I can almost guarantee the fact that Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, maybe T. Higgins and some other guys probably not playing in that game, because why risk their health for a season that is also lost down in Cincinnati? And I sit here and I'm like, okay, if we're saying we haven't made up our mind on Kevin Stefanski, either ownership right now is some of the most indecisive people in the world who are just basically can't decide what they want to do, or that decision is just made up and they're telling you it's not because there's two games left. That's kind of the point that we're at, because if we're looking at Kevin, again, even if you go through and you rattle off two wins against the Steelers and the Bengals, is that going to be the difference in the season that goes through and actually saves your job? I'm sorry that I sit here and I struggle to think that that's impossible. Like, does it really make a difference if we've watched the quarterback carousel? We've watched this team been undisciplined. We've watched the defense be what it is, and then the offense turn around and be everything that it has been, and then go, I don't know, Kevin might be leaning towards firing him at 3-12, but my God, he finished the season 5-12. We are all good now. We've pushed ourselves further back in the draft. We still didn't make the playoffs this season. We probably still finish at or near the very bottom of the AFC North and pretty low in the AFC as well, and just low in the NFL standings. It's like, yeah, no, this is exactly what we were hoping for. You still fall below short of expectations. You still don't reach where Vegas had you projected at to start the year. And this is a team that has sat here at the beginning of the season and over and over and over again told people how many times this team's better than people think it is, right? We're going to perform better than people think we will. Vegas has it wrong. And we have just been proven time and time again this season that you're right, Vegas was wrong. They actually gave you far too much credit. Like, they were expecting you to somehow find any semblance of success with Joe Flacco, and instead we found absolutely none. You found a complete season of disappointment that felt like a lot of this has been building towards nothing. Right? Like, great rookie class. You're trying to figure out your quarterback right now. But for the most part, the answers that you have are, yeah, defense, still really good. Offense, still really bad. Special teams, atrocious. You haven't built towards a ton this year other than you've developed some rookies and you're trying to figure out the quarterback. That's really it. This hasn't even been a great fact-finding mission that we thought it was. So I can't sit here and act like two games at the end of the year that might be against backup quarterbacks, that if the Browns can rattle them off and if they can prove something in these two games, it is the miracle above all that saves Kevin Stefanski's job. Now, Albert Breer was on yesterday, right here on Afternoon Drive, and chimed in what these two games actually mean moving forward for not just Kevin, but also Andrew Berry.
I don't know if a clean sweep is coming. It doesn't sound that way anyway. And, you know, I think at this point, like, if you're, you know, if you're Jimmy, if you're, you know, that the people who are in Jimmy's ear and talking to him on this stuff, you've already had some of these discussions of what this looks like after the season. And that's, you know, I think a lot of that stuff is gonna incorporate everything that's happened thus far. I just don't know at the end of a 3-12 season what you're going to show in the last 2 weeks that's going to blow you away. They haven't given up. You know, at the very least, this feels like it's the end of something. And, you know, what level of change that is remains to be seen. Is that Barry stays, Stefanski goes? Is that, you know, Barry is moved into a different sort of role as part of a restructure? I think there are a bunch of different outcomes on the table. And I don't know that Jimmy really knows what he's going to do yet.
I just struggle to, like, again, if you're in this position of power where you are in charge of basically the firing and the hiring of your GM and your head coach, and Barry can be tossed into this conversation too, because I think Barry fits here. But if you're telling me you got two games left to go in the season, and I'm not saying you have to be fully committed, Kevin Stefanski is going to be fired when this season ends. Because I think if you're fully committed to that answer 100% of the way and there's nothing that can change it, I know the Browns don't really believe in this, and we've seen that over the last 2 years, but my God, just fire the guy now. There is no real point in going through and having Kevin hold that position if you know he's just a dead man walking. But I get it. You have to put in an interim head coach. And if you're going to make that Jim Schwartz, well, chances are if you give Jim Schwartz a head coaching position for two games, then don't give him back the next year, there might be a chance that Jim Schwartz isn't back here next year. I understand how the politics of this all basically arrange. But if you're telling me that I'm not looking at an ownership group right now, a front office that isn't staring at both their GM and their head coach and going, I'm pretty much 98% sure of the way of exactly what I'm going to do, and it might as well be 100. I just don't think that there's two games. We talk about two games not being enough for, you know, Shedeur Sanders to prove whether or not that he can be the quarterback of the future, let alone two games be enough for you to change what you've seen for 6 years in both your GM and your head coach. There is a thought process that you have about those guys right now. And it's not to say that you're down on Kevin if you're Jimmy Haslam and you think he's a terrible coach, but there is the feeling that I think a lot of Browns fans have, which I don't know. Personally, I don't think Kevin's a terrible coach. I think Kevin's actually a really good coach when he has the talent to coach. The problem is with the Cleveland Browns right now, you don't have the talent to coach, and you've won 6 games over 2 seasons. Again, the writing's kind of on the wall. Like, I don't think if you're looking around that there should be any question about whether or not, okay, I think he's a good coach, but clearly it's not working here. I'm trying to find the solution that 2 games gives you. That's really what I'm trying to find out. Like, what can you show me? Other than the fact that this team has continued to fight, which I will give them the pat on the back. I thought they gave up on Kevin in the Chicago game. They clearly proved that on Sunday when they played Buffalo. That was not the case. That team came out and they played hard. And they were playing hard for the head coach in front of them. They were playing hard for the organization. There was no doubt that this team is still invested in the season and still trying to earn a win on every single Sunday that they roll out there. Congratulations. They continue to fight for you. That only goes so far. My coach doesn't lose a locker room. That's a really good bar. But at some point, it doesn't matter whether or not you win or lose a locker room if you just can't hold on to the job. Right? If you can't get the job done and you can't put wins on the board, it's what my head coach is judged by. You are only a reflection of what the product you put out there is. And right now, through 6 years, you're looking at Kevin Stefanski, who has a sub-500 record. His best seasons came in a miracle from Joe Flacco and a team that he took over that was not built by either him or the GM that was in place with him. And everything since has just spiraled. And some of that out of Kevin's control, some of that not. But that's the part where it just doesn't matter right now. Like, it doesn't necessarily matter if this was fully within Kevin's control. It doesn't matter if Kevin's sitting there and thinking to himself, well, you know, I didn't want Deshaun Watson. I didn't want this to go down this way. I haven't had the quarterback that I truly wanted to run this team under. I can guarantee you there's a lot of head coaches that don't get their quarterbacks, and there's a lot of head coaches that their GMs don't put them in the most beautiful situation in the world. And you know what happens to those head coaches? They get fired because it's a product business. And right now, whether the Browns end 3-14, between that and 5-12, the product was still a disappointment, and the product was still bad, and there's nothing you can show other than, hey, maybe I can kind of develop a quarterback that's going to let you keep your job. There's coaches that can develop quarterbacks. There's coaches that can put wins on the board, and there's coaches that can elevate their team to play above the level at which their talent says they can. This team was not expected to win games, and when you fall short, those are the results that you get. Guys get fired. People get held accountable. But right now, even if you go through and you waxed a fully healthy, fully active Pittsburgh Steelers team, and you went out there and won by 40, and then you beat the Bengals the same way the next week, like, your chance to show your job has just passed itself. You had the last 15 games to go out there and show what this team can do, show that they can get better every single week. And for the most part, I feel like this team has not only not improved every single week, it somehow feels like on a week-to-week basis, they've trended in the wrong direction. I'm not going to say they're worse week after week, because that obviously wasn't the case the last 2 weeks, but there's a lot of weeks that I can point to where it's like, this team hasn't improved. They've just continued to get worse. And it's like, you're playing lesser competition. I'm losing to the Jets. And it's like, not even a one-off feeling. That's the same thing that's been killing you all year long. 216-474-0092. Are you buying that a decision hasn't been made yet on Kevin Stefanski, that his job is not decided? You can also get to me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake as well. You can get to us on the Afternoon Drive X page over there at Afternoon 923 FAN. So we can get to our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys later on in the show. Quick Hits is coming your way at 2:40. We talked to Ashley Bastock coming up at 3:20 of Cleveland.com. We're going to talk to Cash Lovett coming up in the 3:40 segment, closer to 3:50. We're going to talk to Daryl in the 5 o'clock hour, the lead, in case we missed it, all the good stuff. But right now, 216-474-0092. Are you buying that a decision hasn't been made yet on Kevin Stefanski? We're going to get to your calls, more on Kevin, all coming back here in about 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here until 7, filling in for Nick and JP on Afternoon Drive. We still got more to get to. We are going to climb into a little bit more of the quarterback conversation, because as we look around, and obviously you have rookie quarterbacks coming up, we've talked about Mendoza more, I mean, over the past couple of months, probably more than we should want to talk about prospect quarterbacks in the month of December, in the month of November. But welcome to the season you're in. But there's some guys that should be coming available, some guys that are likely coming available from other teams in the NFL as well. And to help break us all down, do we want them? Do we want Shador? Let's get Jake Murren back in the mix. Jake, what's going on? What are we doing?
Yeah, so I'm going to present you guys, and we'll bring Michael Markoch in on this as well. I'll present you guys about 11 quarterbacks. We'll see how many we get to. And the question is really simple. Just would you take this quarterback over Shador Sanders in week one in 2026 for the Cleveland Browns? So there are three categories, and I guess I'll ask you to just kick things off which category you'd like me to dip into first. We have the retread category, the rookies, and the you again. So you can pick Jake, who would you like first, or what category would you like to pick from first?
Jake, this feels like Blind Tier Tuesday.
It does feel a little like Blind Tier Tuesday.
On a Wednesday.
On a Wednesday, though. I'm interested to hear you again. I want to hear who's in you again first.
All right, let's go with Deshaun Watson.
I'm going to comfortably rock with Shador Sanders moving forward. Not even because, is there talent left untapped in Deshaun? I don't know. I'm going to safely probably assume not. I've seen that for a couple of years. If he's obviously going to be back next year. If he was in a conversation of, all right, well, we'll give you an opportunity to win the job. You'll go up against Shador. We'll see how it plays out with what's likely a new head coach, which would potentially, but unlikely, a new GM. We'll see how that just absolutely pans out. Sure, you can be in the mix next year. If you tell me that Deshaun actually wins that job and that's legitimately how that plays out, yeah, I think I'm out. Like, I would rather just see a quarterback who actually has time to develop. Not a guy who's now past 30 and hasn't played football, I mean, all of this year, most of last year, most of the last, like, 4 years. Like, I'm kind of out on him.
I would say, actually, Deshaun Watson as a backup, I'm very much in. Deshaun Watson as the starter, I'm out. I'd rather see Shador.
All right, let's go to the retread category here. Lots of names to choose from. And this quarterback was actually in discussion earlier this week on this show because he's the betting favorite to land with the Browns next season. One at Tua Tagovailoa with the Dolphins as they appear to move on from him.
I mean, if you're going to go with the retread option, going with the guy who, respectfully, has had his brain scrambled and just isn't playing very well, and just got benched for 7th-round draft pick Quinn Ewers in Miami, that'd be about the worst decision I have ever heard. Like, and I'm not somebody who thinks Tua's absolute garbage. Like, I think Tua's shown some really nice things. I think he's having a god-awful year. But yeah, like, do I really want to sign up for that over... Again, like, if I'm going back to Shador, I still think there's more room. Like, I already know the arm limitations with Tua. I know now that interceptions can certainly be a problem. And by the way, dealing with an offense that is far more talented than the Cleveland Browns right now, even without Tyreek, you still have Jalen Waddle and Devon Achane. Like, I would take that over anything that we have this year and probably next year.
I mean, don't we already kind of have a version of Tua with Dylan Gabriel? Like, yeah, why would we just move on? Like, I'd just start Dylan Gabriel at that point.
This show Dylan Timu Tua.
Yeah, that's Nick's phrasing for him.
Yeah, let's just start Dylan Gabriel if we're going to go down that route.
I mean, if you're going to have Tua, I'd rather have Timu Tua. At least I'm not spending the Tua money, right? That feels a little bit better, but I've already seen that, and that doesn't work in this offense. That doesn't work with this team. I think I'm good. I think I'm good on Tua.
Well, I would agree with you guys, and it's funny that you bring up Dylan Gabriel because he's also on this list under the you again category. Would you guys rather have Dylan Gabriel over Shador Sanders in 2026?
I didn't want Dylan Gabriel over Shador Sanders in 2025, so I'm going to go with a hard no on Dylan Gabriel again in 2026.
Yeah, I don't know what a full season of Dylan Gabriel would do for anybody in this scenario.
Probably land you a number one pick if I had to take a guess.
Hurt our eyes.
It'd get Arch Manning, games. I'm sure.
You can get Arch and, yeah, probably make me discontent with an NFL season by week three. So, I mean, when I'm reaching apathy in the season in week three, it would not be good, but I'm imagining that's probably where Dylan gets me.
Let's dip into the rookie category here for the first time. Dante Moore out of Oregon, obviously just 1 year with the Ducks, but likely quarterback 2 off the board right now, it seems, out of the NFL draft. Would you take Dante Moore over Shador next year?
This is actually probably like one of the better options that I would consider. Again, I told you in the lead, like, kind of my thought process on it. Like, I'd probably rather see Shador with another offensive weapon than see Dante Moore. But if we're talking quarterbacks, straight compared 1-to-1, I think there's a legitimate conversation there. And might lean Dante Moore. There's just things that scare me with any quarterback in this draft class. And with Dante, the same thing. It's like he's played 1 year and some change as a starting quarterback in college football. We've seen plenty of guys like that that transition to the NFL and are just not prepared to play at that level of the game. Most recently, probably we think of like Trey Lance, who basically got no opportunity in the NFL, has not been ready. We have not seen him be ready. And you have 1 year to go off of. Guys have great college seasons and then also go back the next college season and go, that wasn't good. I would probably slightly lean Dante Moore on skill, but if I really had to pick, I'd probably still be leaning Shador.
This is one where I kind of do veer the other way. I love Dante Moore. I absolutely would rather have Dante Moore. He's my guy out of this draft. I understand, like, there's a thing about playing at Oregon, and it's like the same thing as playing at Ohio State with all the weapons he's got in the offense and all this. Like, it worked for Bo Nix. It worked slightly for Dylan Gabriel, all this other stuff. He's got the size. He's got the arm. He's got it all. Like, he can move a little bit. Plus, I mean, he's from here. So, you know.
He was here till he was five. I mean, we're giving a little benefit of the doubt.
And right? He was up in my neck of the woods.
I know everybody likes that. Like, we love the idea of, a kid from Cleveland comes to play in Cleveland. All right, if you want that, give Drew Aller a chance in the fourth round.
This is better than Drew Aller. We don't have to worry about Drew Aller anymore.
Well, I don't think anybody's worrying much about Drew Aller right now because teams drafting on day three are currently worrying about Drew Aller. And unfortunate, got hurt. Also didn't play that well before. But yeah, I would have taken Shador at 2 last year. I said that before the draft happened. Like, I was perfectly comfortable if you'd have went Shador Sanders at 2. And I'm viewing this year's class not that far off of the way that I was viewing last year's class, where I don't know that you have a super top-end talent. I don't know that you have really any depth in this outside of one or two guys. If I already feel like I have one of those guys, do I really want to dip back into that bucket? Like, no, I'd probably just rather roll with this. And if it's not the answer and if I'm wrong, 2027 is waiting there for me. Like, again, is Dante more talented? Maybe slightly. Would I rather just keep Shador over Dante? Yeah, I would.
It's such a wild card because Dante Moore, I think, has the highest ceiling probably of all the guys we're going to talk about. But the floor, as you talked about, with the least amount of starts, it's certainly lower.
All right, that's an interesting one. You guys both think Dante Moore potentially rather have him over Shador Sanders. That's the first so far. Going back to the retreads, the most popular option that I've seen that's been talked about this season is Mac Jones, obviously with the 49ers right now. We've seen him in plenty of games this year as he looks to be that next Daniel Jones with the Colts or Baker Mayfield with the Bucks. Would you take Mac Jones over Shador Sanders in Cleveland?
How many times do we have to get fooled by 49ers quarterbacks for somebody to actually just wake up? And like, Mac Jones is a former first round pick, so like, give him his credit. He's talented. I just also think we've seen probably enough of Mac Jones to feel like no. And Kyle Shanahan can make, an Olive Garden breadstick work at quarterback, let alone a first round pick. Like, yeah, they're going to look good. Hey, when they're sitting behind the 49ers offensive line playing in that system, they make quarterbacks look good. That's what they do.
I think you're banking on him being another Sam Darnold. I mean, that's another Shanahan reclamation project that he turned into something. And now look at him now. I agree. I don't really understand much of the retread route anyway. Like, if you're going to run it back with a non-rookie, you might as well just go with Shador. It doesn't make any sense to me to go with another veteran quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know that we're going to hear a couple more. I don't know that there is a retread that I feel great about. Maybe there's one out there, but Mac is not it. I'm out on, is this full name McCorkle or is that an
McCorkle?
Okay, McCorkle Jones. Yeah, I'm out. Big time
out. Out on McCorkle. Like, let's go back to the retreads because it's interesting that you guys think there might not be a retread out there, but I want to bring up Daniel Jones's name because obviously out for the year with Achilles injury with Indianapolis, but he is a free agent after this season. It's not like he's committed to the Colts long term, but did show a lot and led the Colts to a really promising record when he was the guy there. Would you take Daniel Jones over Shador Sanders?
So the problem is the Achilles injury, right? Because that's going to keep you out for a majority, if not
possibly
the entirety.
Possibly all of next year, yeah.
Yeah, so like, he's going to be out a long time. I will say, I was high on Daniel Jones even going into this offseason. Like, when I did my quarterback big board, he was in the top, I think he was in the top 5, maybe top 6 of the guys that I liked there. I did think that playing a Kevin O'Connell offense, taking that time, plus, he already played well in New York. Like, it wasn't, I mean, he played bad in New York too, don't get me wrong, but he had played well in New York to earn a second contract. There was enough there that I was like, yeah, I would do it. I get the money wasn't there, and he ended up signing like a $14 million contract. I'd be interested. Plus, it would give you Shador Sanders probably through 2026 anyway, if you're just going to keep both those guys there and then go, we'll try Daniel Jones after, could lead you in a really bad downward spiral of just not great quarterback play. I'd be interested. I mean, I like Daniel Jones. I'd probably still rock with Shador, but it'd be one of the more interesting names for sure.
I think this would be a good option if you kept Stefanski around, because it's kind of the similar offensive tree, but I'm with you, Jake. The injury is terrifying. I don't think he's going to play next year. Plus, I think the Colts really like him. I think he really likes it there. I think it's probably he just takes a deal with the Colts for less money and just sits out next year.
All right, guys, I've been bearing the lead on this one. Obviously, Fernando Mendoza all over the place in terms of being quarterback one, and in our conversations already comparing him to Shador Sanders. Maybe we don't even get the opportunity to draft him if he goes 1 and 2, and right now we're sitting at 3. But would you take the Heisman winner over Shador Sanders next year?
Mendoza's the guy that very early on I identified as a quarterback I like more. I watched him play in the Big Ten title game, and again, haven't dug into a ton of film on these guys. I still think I would rock with Shador. Like, I talked to Max Chadwick on Overtime a couple of weeks ago. He compared him to Jared Goff, which is not what I'm looking for. I like Jared Goff, good quarterback, probably not going to win you a Super Bowl, as we see right now in one of the most talented offenses in the NFL. I'm kind of out. Like, he's an RPO merchant in college. He's got a great frame. He can develop into something really good, or he can be Jared Goff.
Yeah, this is like right there with me. I'm kind of with you, Jake. Like I said, I like Dante Moore better. And it has nothing to do with his personality. There's just something about Mendoza here. To me, I just don't know if it's going to translate. And I don't even know why. I just think he needs the system to be right. Tell me who the coach is, and then I talk about Mendoza.
All right, I want to do one more, at least, in the you again category to kind of wipe that one out. It's Joe Flacco. Why not a third trip to Cleveland? Would you take Flacco over Shador? There's obviously a lot of scenarios there, but check the old man over Shador in 2026.
That man's got to hang up the bootstraps. He's got to be done. The cleat's got to go up on the hook. I mean, listen, can throw the ball still with really good, deep accuracy, still has a good arm. No, I'm not. 40-year-old quarterbacks don't do anything for him. If there's somebody that is over the age of, like, I mean, we're talking probably close to 30. I'm pretty close to out at this point. I mean, like,
Phillip Rivers is 44 playing right now.
That's true. Do I have 4 years of Joe Flacco? Probably not four good ones. I also am watching, Phillip Rivers fall down like he's a geriatric too. So it's not great.
I think it's hard to say Joe Flacco's done, especially with what Phillip Rivers is doing right now. But I totally agree with you. There's no reason to bring him back for a third try. I don't even know if he would at this point.
Probably not.
I don't think he'd even be interested in that.
Probably not as long as Andrew Berry's here, I'll tell you that much.
So what I think is really interesting from this exercise is we just went through, I think, 6, maybe 7 quarterbacks. And out of 11 that I had, and the other ones were Malik Willis, Trey Lance, and Ty Simpson. I'm assuming those are both no's for all of you guys.
Yep.
The only one was Dante Moore. And, this whole idea was sparked by Ross Tucker, who joined us on Monday. He said, you have to think about NBA, next best available when it comes to these Shador conversations. And I accuse myself of this too, because when I think about Shador in 2026, I'm like, man, he really has to go out there and have Tennessee Titan-esque performances against the Steelers and the Bengals to finish out the season to be even in the mix for that job. Well, going through the options that are actually out there, there might only be one or two guys that you would take over Shador, and you don't even know if you're going to be in position to get those one or two guys. Very interesting in terms of the odds or the chances of Shador being that guy next year.
Yeah, now I do think there's probably a lot of people who would lean Fernando Mendoza and say absolutely yes. I think they're seeing things that I'm not seeing, and I don't know who's right on that. But
maybe that's the only two with Mendoza and Moore combined, and maybe the Browns go all in, maybe even make a trade to move up in the draft to get one of those guys. But if you're sitting behind the Giants and the Raiders, that'd be a tough sell to move up when you have so many other holes to fill.
Yeah, that is the one thing. I have said it for weeks. I will continue to say it. The one thing I am absolutely out on, based on what I've seen on Shador, is that I am trading draft capital to move up to take a quarterback in this draft. There is not a quarterback in this draft that is worthy of selling my future away and making sure that I have that guy because he's going to be the answer for the next 25 years. The tape there does not show it, right? Even the college stats right now don't show it for either of those two guys. Like, he is a must-have. You don't have an Andrew Luck in this class. You have two fine quarterbacks that have very good opportunities to have good NFL careers. It's not worth trading up. You need so much else right now. If he falls into your lap and you take him, I'd have a hard time making an argument against it. If that's a quarterback you love, absolutely. If you think he's a franchise guy, go get him. But the fact that you would burn capital to go do it is just, that's beyond me. Like, there are way too many things that you need this year. There's way too much, even if you're going into next year's draft to trade out. Like, you still probably need more things in 2027. I'd rather just take my chances and just sit there, see if the guy falls into your lap. If not, okay. Like, then we roll with Shador.
And you brought up the Jared Goff comp for Fernando Mendoza. And at the time, I was like, oh, I would definitely take a Jared Goff-type quarterback on my team right now. But I'm not willing to spend a top three pick on a Jared Goff-esque quarterback for my team right now. So it's an interesting parallel there. And I just can't emphasize enough that with this exercise, you really have to think about who else is out there. And I'm sure there's going to be some outside of the box names that nobody is considering right now that could be on the move this offseason, because that's usually how that goes. But only two names that potentially are ahead for Shador for most people. That's really interesting. And I don't know how much that changes over the next two games and as we get into draft season.
Yeah, I think your best route's to go and do it, but it's definitely an interesting thing. It's something we're going to have to keep an eye on. Once I dig more into the tape, maybe I fall in love with one of these guys. Maybe there's one I like even more than Shador, but early returns have not been, I have to have that guy. Jake, appreciate you. Good stuff. Michael, good stuff chiming in. As well, I've been pushing it back for so long. We're going to get into whether or not it makes me a bad person because I continue to push this thing off every time this time of year. Plus, disappointing NFL teams. All coming your way in 5 minutes. Jake Volnick, in for Nick and JP, right here on Afternoon Drive.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.